There is no one higher. come again.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And we'll dance in your presence till you come again.
We'll
sing hallelujah till you come again.
And
we'll dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence, dance in your presence, King of glory. Fill this place, I just wanna be with you. Just wanna be with you. King of glory, fill this place, I just wanna be with you. I just wanna be with you.
Somebody in here this morning that is not satisfied unless they get a total overflow. There's a divine discontentment. I believe, Lord, you're going to change the trajectory of something here today, Lord. Some divine discontentment, Lord. Somebody, Lord, that is just saying, I am not satisfied until I get an overflow. This is the rest of the refreshing, Lord, that you cause the weary to rest. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is the God of the breakthrough. God is the God that makes all things new. God will refresh you. God will restore you. God will heal you. God will renew you. Hallelujah.
Dance in your presence. 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 Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah.
And
dance in your presence, 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 dance in your presence. Dance in your presence. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
I just got to say one thing. There was many that gathered together in different places on a Saturday night to dance according to the world's standards. But God is giving you an open invitation this morning to dance before Him. There is a freedom to dance before the Lord. The world has tried to restrict you, trying to hold you back. But this is Sunday. This is a new day. This is a new week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to do something fresh and new in your life. Hallelujah. I believe it. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We're anticipating in Jesus' name. There's a breakthrough in this place here this morning. Hallelujah. 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 There's nothing like being in a Spirit-filled church and being Spirit-led. Let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord lead the rest of this service in Jesus' name. Brother Mike, will you pray for the offering? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Mercy taught us how to dance, to celebrate with all we have, and we'll dance to thank you for mercy. Glory taught us how to shout, so lift your name in all the earth. Now we'll shout to thank you for glory. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. And now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. And we'll be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. And we'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord. Your mercy taught us how to dance, to celebrate with all we have, and we'll dance to thank you for mercy. Your glory taught us how to shout, to lift your name in all the earth, and we'll shout to thank you for glory. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. Now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. And we'll be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. And we'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. And now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. We'll be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. We'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord. It's the overflow of a forgiven soul. Now we overflow of a forgiven soul. Overflow of a forgiven soul. And now we've seen you, God. Our hearts cannot stay silent. will be a dancing generation, dancing because of your great mercy, Lord. Your great mercy, Lord. And we'll be a shouting generation, shouting because of your great glory, Lord. Your great glory, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Some may ask, why are you guys so loud? Why do you clap your hands all the time? Why do you lift your hands? Why do you jump, scream, shout, dance? It's the overflow of a forgiven soul.
Amen. Thank you.
I just want to express my gratitude and my thankfulness of the mercy of God. Huh. It's just an expression of thanks. It's just a way I applaud His goodness in my life. It's a way I come and demonstrate how thankful I am for how good He is. It's just an overflow. I can't contain it. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! I couldn't keep quiet if I wanted to, because I recognize how good He is. So I have to express myself. We should see church as an opportunity to come and express ourselves, to show just how grateful and how thankful we are to our God. Lord, I love You. I thank You. I'm grateful for Your goodness. I thank You that I got up this morning. I thank You that I have food on the table and a roof over my head. I'm thankful. While you're standing, I do want to remind you, there is no PM activity here at the church tonight. I realize we'll be battling some snow and inclement weather, and it was already on the calendar not to have an event tonight. I realize it is President's Day weekend. Schools are off tomorrow. I encourage you to spend time with your family. Be safe. No PM activity here. This coming Wednesday, however, we do have our midweek service, our different sessions, adults, youth, children, happening 7 o'clock. I encourage you to come for that. And then next week we have both sessions, in Sunday morning and then a Sunday night session. So I encourage you to come, be a part of that. Men, we welcome you to come and join us Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Idle Hour Lanes in Sandwich. $2 shoe rental, $2 games. So about $6, you can have a good time with a lot of good men. And the only thing, if you want something to drink or something to eat, you need to bring it yourself because they don't have refreshments there. So bring your own refreshments. But from about 7 to 8:30, we're just going to have a good time together at Idle Hour Lanes here in Sandwich. They've reserved some lanes for us. And so if you're planning to go and can go, please see Brother Jay. Let him know so we can get a count. Make sure we'll have enough lanes open. And just encourage you to come and be a part of that together on Tuesday night. Other events on the calendar, scrolling on the screen, hopefully between services, before service, letting you know what's happening. Do want to take some needs to the Lord in prayer. As we pray, if you have a need in your body, it's always right and proper to come forward. We will anoint and pray for you. Obviously, in consideration of recent events that happened in Aurora, those individuals that have lost their lives as a result of that senseless act that took place. We want to pray for the families, pray for the area, pray for the church in Aurora as they have an opportunity to reach out to hurting families and those in pain from the tragedy. But let's lift the families up. Also, I heard there was another shooting in Cancun, Mexico. Another 5 had been killed there. So, my. We need Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Also, Sister Chrissy asked that you would pray for her mother taken to the hospital by ambulance after passing out at home. Got bad flu and fluid in her lungs. So let's remember Sister Chrissy's mom in prayer. And let's go to the Lord right now, shall we? Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for another opportunity to be here in your house, God, to give you glory and praise and honor. Lord, to let our feelings overflow and our expressions of praise and worship unto you. Lord, we bring these needs before you in prayer, realizing that you are an all-powerful God. You're able to work and move in every situation, every circumstance, Lord. And we come to you in faith, believing, trusting in your power to work and to move. Lord, for those that are coming forward in prayer, God, we ask that you would touch, that you would minister to them in a mighty way, God, to find your help and your strength. And whatever this situation is, whatever the circumstances that surround their life, God, we know that we can depend upon you, that we can trust in you and your power to help. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you.
Let the peace that passes on, I understand.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, if you grab your Bibles, two portions of Scripture, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, Isaiah chapter number 40, verse number 3, and then Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Great prophet Isaiah, in the book that bears his name, said this, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Matthew chapter 3. Fulfillment of this prophecy by Isaiah, Matthew records, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Help the Lord want to preach to you upon this subject, preparing the way of the Lord. Preparing the way of the Lord. You and I, even today, at this very moment, in this very service, have an opportunity to prepare the way of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for those that have braved the weather, God, to be here in this service this morning. God, I ask you to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we'd be challenged and encouraged, God, therein. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, for all that you are and all that you do. We love you and thank you. In your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Born 6 months before his cousin Jesus, his birth too was miraculous. The great prophet Isaiah that prophesied concerning Jesus prophesied concerning this man as well. To say that he was probably regarded as weird would most likely be an understatement. For Matthew tells us that in the middle of the desert, he wore camel's hair. He had a leather belt, and his diet consisted of locust and wild honey. Verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 3, where we read, says, "And the same John had this raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey." An oddity of oddities. Peculiar at best. Weird without a doubt. This man, probably with wiry hair and wiry garments, was preaching in the wilderness of Judea. But more odd than John's clothing or his diet was his message. For as long as Israel had been a nation, their ways of obedient service to God included the sacrifice of animals for the atonement of sin. For as long as their history records, since God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees and God established his covenant, and through the law of Moses, sacrifice was the way that you serve God. This sacrificial system of bringing animals before God and having them slain to atone for sin, the Jews were no stranger to.
They were no strangers to the service of the temple, surely. Sure, the system had become corrupt and the service of sacrifice had become more business than worship. We realize that that's what had happened during that day. But it was all they had known. That system, that sacrificial system, that Levitical law that had been passed down from Moses, that Moses had given them, the law said that sacrifice was how you dealt with sin. Strangers to the law, no. But strangers to the message of this strange man, yes. He came preaching something. For this strange man called John the Baptist came preaching a message of preparation for the way of the Lord. John began to tell them that Yahweh was coming. Their long-awaited deliverer, the kingdom of heaven, he said, was at hand. At any moment, their Messiah would make his appearance and restoration would begin. A strange man dressed in strange clothing, eating a strange diet, was preaching not in the synagogues, but in a strange place. He was in the wilderness, in the dry and desolate desert. You see, this man, John the Baptist, was preaching to people who had no prophetic word for over 400 years. Religion had become rules and requirements, relegating the common man to a life of hopeless poverty and servitude. A people as spiritually dry and desolate as the wilderness in which he preached. We're hearing a strange message. It would somehow, some way, according to what he said, would make a highway in the middle of the desert. It somehow would make a straight path for Yahweh, their deliverer, their Messiah, to come to them and to redeem his people. This strange man preaching this strange message said, there is coming your Messiah, but you must prepare the way. This is the message that he said would make the way. This is the word that would prepare the way of the Lord. This is the beginning of a new covenant, a new way of worship. This word would withdraw the hand from the head of the sacrifice as the priest cut the throat of the animal and the blood and the life spilled forth. This word, this strange word from this strange message, this strange man came saying there is a new way. A highway in the desert, preparation for the way of the Lord. And this was his word. This is what he said. This is what would usher in Yahweh. This is what would see the kingdom of heaven come to fruition. He stood and said, repent! And the Bible says they came from all. Matthew 3, 5, and 6 records, they went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So different was this way now. So peculiar and odd from what they had known. This man said you no longer had to take an animal to the temple and present him before the priest, where the priest would say, no, it's not good enough. You got to buy one of these, and then would sell you a lamb that you had no attachment to. They would profit from you coming wanting to atone for your sin. John the Baptist stood on the banks of the Jordan and said, I've come with a new way, and it is for you to prepare the way of the Lord. It's for you to make a highway in the desert. It's for you, and this is how you do it. This is how you prepare the way of the Lord. Repent! I recognize in our day and age that is something that doesn't really appeal to us. Something that some might say rubs the wrong way, that there's a need, there's something I need to do. Well, if you want the way of the Lord, yes. If you want the way of the Lord in your life, well, then you have to prepare the way. There is a part you must play. There is something you must do. But before we get there, can I tell you about this way of the Lord? Can I tell you why you would want to do this? Can I tell you why this repentance stuff is not ugly at all? Can I tell you why this repentance stuff is so beautiful and so wonderful? Can I tell you about this way of the Lord? This is what the Bible says. That great prophet Isaiah, after he said in verse number 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then he said this, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. You see, we all have different paths. Our experiences and our encounters are unique to us, but we need to realize that this way of the Lord is all common ground. This way of the Lord, it doesn't matter where I've come from. It doesn't matter my past. It doesn't matter my pedigree. It doesn't matter my last name. It doesn't matter my bank account. It doesn't matter who my daddy was. It doesn't matter what my record is. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff makes a difference. In the way of the Lord, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The rough ways are going to be made smooth, and the crooked ways are going to be made straight. That's the way of the Lord. That's the goodness of God. You see, it doesn't matter the valleys or the mountaintops. It doesn't matter how crooked or how straight. It doesn't matter how rough or how smooth. In the way of the Lord, it's all the same. Prophet Isaiah also had this to say about this way of the Lord. In Isaiah 35, he said, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a way I want to live. That sounds like a way that seems pretty good to me. That sounds like a way where there's gladness and there's joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. I'm talking about the way of the Lord. This way, this wonderful way, is so special. He says this, make straight in the desert. Think about that statement for a minute. Make straight in the desert. You want to talk about a place where it's easy to lose direction? Find yourself in the middle of a desert where all the scenery is the same, where it's just running one rolling sand hill after another. You want to talk about, they say some of the greatest despair that's ever found is when men have found themselves in the midst of a desert and they have no sense of direction and they wander in circles. And this prophet said, listen, this way will make straight a path in the desert. A place where people wander in circles, a place where just a few missteps can be deadly, a place of utter confusion and loneliness. This way of the Lord can make a path, make straight a way in the desert. What do you mean? You mean with this way of the Lord, you mean I can have direction in life? Yes. You mean I don't have to wander aimlessly and then wonder what this is all about? Yes. Are you telling me that I can have purpose and fulfillment? Are you telling me that I can walk the straight and narrow? Are you telling me that I can straighten up and do good? Yes, I'm telling you, yes, there is a way. There is a way of the Lord. There is a straight path in the midst of a desert. You don't have to wander anymore. You don't have to walk aimlessly anymore. You don't have to wonder what's happening or why you're here. You can find a way in the midst of the desert. there can be a highway. It's not just a way. It's a highway. It's a highway of deliverance in the middle of a desert. Now, if you and I were in the middle of a desert, and in our wandering we find a pretty well-worn animal path, that's encouraging. Maybe they're going to water. That's a good thing. Find some paw prints or something in the sand that says there's life here. Something good. Man, if you find a trail where other people have walked, man, that's even better. I'm not alone. Civilization is near. There's something of substance. There's hope. Maybe they were walking to a well and I can find some water. If you find a road, and that's really reassuring. Road in the midst of the desert, I'm going to make it out. Someone might come by at some time before I perish and be able to pull me out of this. So a road is reassuring. But a highway? An interstate? I-88 in the midst of a desert? You want to talk about promising? You want to talk about giving me hope? You want to talk about stumbling onto something of significance? You want to talk about realizing, wait a second, it's not just an animal path. It's not just a well-worn trail. It's not even a road. It's a highway. The Lord, this way of the Lord is a highway in the midst of a desert. So that begs a question. Well, how does one find this highway? How does one who is wandering in the midst of this dry and desolate place, how does one find this highway, this straight path, this cardinal point, this straight path in the midst of a desert, this freeway of deliverance right in the middle of my mess? How does that happen? It sounds too good to be true. Tell me, preacher, how does that happen? How does one find this highway in the middle of the desert? How does one find this way that is straight? How does one find this way where they don't have to wander anymore and they don't have to live aimlessly? How does one find this place where they're no longer losing direction in life, where they're no longer just wondering what's going to happen and they're no longer confused and lonely? How does one find this way? How does one be able to find this highway in the desert? You ready? Repent. It's not very hard. Repent. Repentance is an amazing, beautiful turn to see the goodness and the mercy that has been following you the whole time. Even while you were wandering, and even while I was aimless, even while I was a sinner, Christ died for me. Even when I was lost in the desert and I was lonely and confused and I had no direction for my life and I wondered, am I ever going to find my way out of this? And I became more hopeless and more confused and more loneliness. And then one day I found an altar of repentance, and all I did was turn around, and there I saw the goodness and the mercy of God. It was following me all the days of my life. It's my understanding that I believe it's in the British Army. You know, we say about face. You know what they say? They say repent. You know what that means? Just turn around. You want to know how to find a highway in the desert? You want to know how to prepare the way of the Lord? You want to know how to see fulfillment in your life? Repent! See, I love to see people get baptized in the name of Jesus. I love to see people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you want to know what prepares the way for all that? You want to know what begins to clear all the clutter? You want to know what begins to get rid of all the obstacles? You want to know what starts to make the heart ready to go down in a watery grave? You want to know what starts to make the soul ready to receive the Spirit of God? You want to know the initial step? It begins to prepare the way of the Lord. It is simply repentance. It prepares the way of the Lord. This is why the Bible says in Luke 15:10, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You want to know why? Because a path is being prepared. When someone begins to repent, when someone begins to come before God and begins to confess and begins to repent, the clutter is being cleared out of the way. As the confession comes forth, the obstacles of bitterness and anger and rage and resentment are being taken out of the way, and a highway is being opened up. There are a few things, if any, more beautiful to me than to see someone sincerely repenting. You see, please understand, I'm not demeaning these things, but we give certificates for baptism and we give certificates for receiving the Holy Ghost, but we need to understand there is something that is just as special and something that is just as significant, and there is... We want to put numbers down and we want to talk about how many were baptized and how many received the gift of the Holy. How many repented? Because that prepares the way. That's the initial step. That's something we should celebrate. The Bible tells me the angels in heaven celebrate. The angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repented. Why is it so special? Why is it so beautiful? Because I know those trail of tears are preparing the way of the Lord. And the angels are getting excited. So-and-so down there, and they're repenting and they're crying. Guess what? They're making a highway that stretches from heaven to earth. They're making a highway in the midst of their mess. They're making a highway in the midst of their desert when all they do is come before God. Forgive me, Lord. There is something so beautiful and so special. I understand there's more. I understand what we talk about in the new birth experience. I understand death, burial, and resurrection. I understand baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I understand that. But if we truly want to know how that happens and how that gets us to a place where we're ready to receive it, it's through repentance. Because I don't care how deep the valley, I don't care how high the mountain or the hill, I don't care how rough the road. I don't care how crooked the ways. The way of the Lord brings us all together in one common place. And when I begin to repent, when I begin to come before God. Here's the thing. This preparation, this preparing the way of the Lord, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. I'm coming before God and I'm confessing and I'm cleared out the clutter and I'm preparing the way and I want to open up more lanes. I want this highway to get larger. I want the way from heaven to earth. I want thy will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So I come before you and I forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against us. What is that saying? It's coming before God in repentance. It's a lifestyle. I'm preparing the way of the Lord. When I repent and coming and repenting and confessing, I open up avenues of His almighty work in my life. I'm preparing the way of the Lord. When I come to this altar and I fall on my face and I cry tears of confession, it's not an ugly thing. It's a beautiful thing. The angels in heaven, the wings begin to flutter and they begin to think, oh, another avenue, another way to work, another highway that I'm able to work, the work of Him. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. It is no mystery why. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. It's no mystery why. And on that day of Pentecost, Brother Craig read from in Acts chapter 2 earlier. Peter stood up and gave explanation as to what was happening. Those that were gathered together, the Bible says, out of every nation under heaven, when it was noised abroad what was going on, the multitudes came together. Asking, what meaneth this? Some mocking said, these are drunk. Peter standing up said, hey, he's not drunk as you suppose. It's about the ninth hour of the day. It's early in the morning. You're not looking at a bunch of drunks. What you need to know is this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. It's just fulfillment of the prophecy. And then begin to preach Jesus unto them. The Bible says they became pricked in their heart. And they asked that all-important question. Men and brethren, what must we do? The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for us. That Yahweh did come. And a man named Christ Jesus had died for our sins. So that no matter how big or how small, how crooked or how straight, how high or how low, we're all brought into the same way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Peter preached unto them, Jesus, they were pricked in their hearts. Men and brethren, what must we do? What's the proper response? How do we prepare for this way to have its way in us? Then Peter said unto them, repent. How do I respond to the truth that Jesus died for me? That Jesus made a new and living way that He consecrated for each and every one of us, no matter our past, no matter our baggage, no matter our previous ways, all that doesn't matter. He made a way for us. And the way you and I prepare that way in our own lives, for God's work and God's will to be performed in us. He has all power. He can make every crooked way straight. He can make every rough way plain. He can make every valley exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. That's His way. But the way you and I prepare for it and the way you and I allow it to happen is simply to repent. Oh, Jesus, I'm so thankful. There's a highway in the desert. I'm so thankful. There's an avenue of almighty work from heaven to earth. I'm so thankful that in the midst of a mess, in the midst of wandering, there's a highway. deliverance is available for each and every person. He stands waiting, wanting to fulfill his work in your life. And he's a gentleman. He'll never force his way in. He'll never make you receive him. What he wants you to do is prepare the way. You see, and when I repent, I simply open the door and say, Jesus, come on in. I've made a mess of things, and I'm pretty sure you can fix it. I thought I knew what I was doing, but I don't. I realize I'm lost. I'm wondering. I'm aimless. I'm hopeless. So let me open the door so you can come on in and work your way in my life. I'll just repent, turn to you, admit that I don't know, let my pride fall away, and humbly present myself before you and say, I need you, Jesus. I need you. I'm sorry for trying to do it on my own. I'm sorry for the mess I've made, mistakes that litter my past. I believe you can fix it. I repent. The enemy wants you to keep you from doing it because he knows that once you start repenting, a way is being opened up. And he is powerless. He can do nothing. He knows that once you start confessing and once you start getting it out, once the tears start falling, confession comes forth. He's pushed aside, and the clutter's gotten out of the way. Now the Lord begins to work his will and his way in your life. It's no mystery why. The first things that we must do is show a faith, is simply repent. It's an act of faith that says, I believe God can make every valley exalted, every hill and mountain brought low, every crooked way straight, and every rough way plain. And I want to prepare the way of the Lord. These altars are open. Whether you've never done it before, whether you realize I do it all the time, and I need to do it more and more because I'm preparing the way of the Lord. Here I am, Jesus.
Draws me to your side.
I just want to turn around and see the goodness and mercy have been following me all the days of my life. Even while I was wandering and messing up and making so many mistakes, he's been standing patiently by saying, hey, if you'll just repent, you'll prepare the way. You just repent, you'll prepare a way for me to come and work my way in you. It'll be a highway no lion nor beast shall tread upon. Where even wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err. A way of holiness and righteousness.
You are good, you are good, and your mercy is forever.
It's a beautiful thing to come before God.
Your kindness leads me to repentance.
To prepare the way for him to work in your life. I simply repent.
Calls me to be like you, Lord, your favor
so beautiful.
Is
so wonderful. There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Why? Because a way is being prepared. A highway is being opened up in the middle of the desert. Hallelujah. Forgive us for placing such a focus and an emphasis on other things. Trying to lead people down a path they haven't prepared for. How important, how essential it is to simply repent. Pastor, I see in the word where those who believe were baptized in the name of Jesus. Can I be baptized in the name of Jesus? Yes, you most certainly can. But before you get in that water, you make sure you spend time preparing the way of the Lord. You make sure you spend some time on your knees repenting.
Your goodness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever.
Pastor, I've read in the Bible how those who believe received the gift of the Holy Ghost, how the Spirit, they were baptized with the Spirit. I've heard about that. I want that in my life. Well, let me tell you how to prepare the way for that. Repent. Just encourage you this morning. Maybe it's not for you at this point in time to come forward, and you don't feel that maybe you could do that for pressure, whatever reason. You need to understand, it doesn't have to be in a church, it doesn't have to be an altar, it can be at home. My dad at age 17 couldn't stand it any longer. He was laying awake in his bed at night, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he wouldn't woke his parents up. And in the living room of their house, my dad began to repent on the couch, and there in their living room at the couch, God filled my dad with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But he prepared the way.
Your goodness is forever.
As he repented.
Your mercy is forever. Forever.
Can we sing this?
You are good.
You're so good.
You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever.
Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you that you make a way. Help me to understand the importance of preparing. Importance of clearing out the clutter with confession. Repent before you. So thankful for your word this morning. Thank you that I'm learning every day more and more what it means to prepare the way for you to work in my life. Coming before you and repenting. Asking for your help and your deliverance and your strength. Your wisdom to lead my life. Thank you, Jesus. How can you lift your hands one more time? Lift your voice. How wonderful. How glorious. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How beautiful. How wonderful to prepare the way of the Lord through repentance. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Go preparing the way of the Lord, living a lifestyle of repentance. Inviting God to work in your life. He'll work his way in each and every one of us. I bless you this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.